And so it's learning how to pace myself and prioritize and make sure I'm eating and sleeping and moving and getting time in nature and finding things funny. I mean, it's the core self-care strategies. With kids, they are not as in control of their circumstances, their time, and all that kind of stuff. So they really need parents to help guide them, protect them, role model for them. So this is the case with any child, no matter how sensitive they are, because kids in general are going to be more sensitive than adults because they don't have the logic and judgment and those types of capacities quite yet.
This episode of the Healthy Parenting Handbook is again another throwback to about 4 years ago. We're keeping with our stress theme. Two episodes ago, you heard me introduce what stress mastery is. Then last episode, we talked about the BFF, breathe, feel, focus, all of that. Stress mastery, the BFF, that's all the brainchild of Dr. Heidi Hanna, who is my guest today. Keep in mind, please, that this episode was actually recorded in the depths of the beginning of the pandemic, like March or April 2020. So we're clearly going to be talking about stress in light of what was going on in the world, and it'll give you a little picture to how people felt in those early days when we really did not know what was going on. And my hope is that you are listening to this in a world that is very much post-pandemic, that it is hard to imagine how nervous, frightened, and stressed people were at the very beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, and that no other pandemics have sprouted up to take its place. I think you'll really appreciate and love this episode because, pandemic or not, stress is a constant source in our lives. And learning how we feel about stress is really important.
I'm so happy to be here. And I can't get the smile off my face because I just love what you do and how you do it. It energizes me so much.
Oh, that's good to hear, especially in kind of these crazy times. A lot of times I'm recording these interviews months before. But this one, we're actually just like 2 weeks before we're posting. And so we are in the middle of COVID-19 news changing every day. Shelter in place is, I believe was just announced in my state like today. So life has changed once again. And we were planning to talk about stress sensitivity and what that means a month ago. And now I think it means more than ever. And it means we need to understand how our bodies react to stress more than ever. So I want to jump right in, but I'm going to synopsize your bio here. Dr. Heidi Hanna is the Chief Energy Officer. I love that. Of Synergy Brain Fitness, a company providing brain-based health and performance programs to individuals and organizations, and a fellow and advisory board member for the American Institute of Stress. She's everywhere. She's an instructor at Harvard, a regular lecturer at Canyon Ranch Resort and Spa. She's a New York Times bestselling author who has written 7 books, including Stressaholic, Recharge, and What's So Funny About Stress. And someday I will have you back on, Dr. Hanna, to talk about humor and stress. So we probably need that more than ever now. She's spoken everywhere, but I imagine a little less right now, more online and less in person. And Dr. Hanna is just so amazing. Last year, she launched the Stress Mastery Educator Program, and that's what I got to go through and how I know her better. But I want you to tell your sort of personal background, because I think you have a really powerful story about why you got so interested into researching stress as a passion.
Yeah, well, first of all, the certificate above your head looks awesome. That's the first time I've seen it like presented like that in someone's office, because we've all been so busy since that happened. And yeah, it was such a blessing to have 2 beta groups go through, pretty much hand-selected from people that I thought were doing great work. So just that in itself says a lot about the work that you're doing. And I have to say, as a highly sensitive person, I will cry at like the drop of a pin right now. So even talking about this, I find myself getting emotional and wanting to like push that down. But it probably speaks to what you're asking me to share a little bit here and now. And it is so much more important with everything that's going on in our world. So to do the best I can to make this quick so we can get to some practical tips and tools for everybody, around the age of 10 or 12, kind of between that age range, I started really experiencing the negative side effects of chronic stress, which sounds weird to even say, like what's really going on when you're 10 or 12 that's that stressful? But it turns out that I know now, looking back, that I am kind of hardwired to be a highly sensitive person, and 15 to 20% of the population actually is. And so when that happens, and I'm sure for a lot of people who are watching or listening, it tends to show up in things like overreacting. I did throw some temper tantrums, and I'll tell you, like, they weren't usually around things that normal kids have temper tantrums around, but it was like sensory processing. So fireworks displays were torture for me, and I hated roller coaster rides. And in fact, yesterday I was reflecting on this with someone that my first experience fainting was around the age of 10, and I was getting ready to go on a roller coaster ride, and I didn't want to do it. And I grew up, you know, with a dad who was also my coach, and we've had a lot of therapy, and he's one of my best friends, and I adore him. But as a parent, I think the tendency is to want to not make the situation worse by coddling your kids, you know? So it's kind of like, well, I need to get them resilient for the real world. So I'm going to push them through this drama queen moment.
Yeah. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
Exactly. And for whatever reason, my dad always used the term snap a towel around it, which I think has to do with guys in a locker room or something. So that always comes to mind with me, even to this day, you know, 45 years old and recently got sick. And in my head, I'm going, I got to get out there. I got to work out. That'll help me. You know, I've got to snap a towel around it. And I made myself worse. So I had these situations. My parents didn't have a clue what to do. They kept pushing me through. And
you were actually full out fainting.
I was full out losing consciousness. And it happened a couple times a year. So it usually triggered by emotion. And with that, I want to kind of take a step back and say, before the fainting, there were very clear signs that could have kept me from fainting. I actually had headaches and stomach aches primarily, usually stomach aches. So my parents took me to doctors to try to fix me and did a ton of tests. And ultimately, they decided to tell me that I was allergic to milk because that seemed the most likely, which now looking back, I think is kind of hysterical because they do an elimination diet. They just get rid of all the food and then go, oh, well, she's doing better. Well, guess why I was doing better? Because someone was paying attention to me and listening to me, taking me seriously when I was like crying out for help with these physical symptoms that were going on. And, you know, if you don't get what you need, especially with a sensitive nervous system, it's actually hardwired within us to what everyone probably knows, fight or flight first. And if you can't, you freeze or you faint. Mm-hmm. And so I just happened to be like the most extreme case of fainting. But most people I talk to now either have had that experience or know someone who has. It's much more common than we originally thought.
And so your body
started to figure that out. Yeah, my body was basically screaming at me because of the tension and other things in the home. And so if we look at stress sensitivity, I know we'll unpack this a little bit more. I think it was the perfect storm of having a family history of some mental and emotional health issues and substance abuse issues. And we now know through multiple generations that can be passed along through our nervous system, because essentially what's happening is it's telling our brain and body, you better be prepared, because you're coming into some challenging times. And I remember one time getting on the phone with my mom and saying, as I was doing all this research, so were you stressed when you were pregnant with me? And she said, honey, I was married to your dad. She said, here I was pregnant and your dad came home from a basketball game and literally passed out on the floor. And I thought he had died. Now, it turns out my dad has the same condition that I have. Now, never knew it. Yeah, just, you know, so all of these interesting things. So the stress of that for her being pregnant with her first child and all of that, that gets passed along. And then you come into this world and are told that you're too sensitive, too emotional, need to snap a towel around it, whatever. And so it gets pushed down more and more and more. And so these symptoms start showing up. I'll tell you, with other parents who hear me speak, usually at my corporate events, they'll come up and say, oh my gosh, my child is doing this, that, or the other. It's actually the number one thing people talk to me about at my sessions is their kids, and that they think that their kids are probably highly sensitive. And I can figure it out really quickly. Usually, are they creative? Are they kind of more spiritual? or intuitive seeming, like they like to hang out with adults. Maybe they're thinking about things ahead of their time. And are they sensitive to loud noises, bright lights, smells, and other kind of sensory information? Those usually almost always. They're like, oh my gosh, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. Mm-hmm. Are they just the most amazing child because they're so passionate and so driven and perfect at everything they do in some ways that then you can't figure out why they're melting down at other times? Oh my gosh,
once.
Just so much of that is this stress sensitivity that's actually a real gift if we know how to nurture it. And I think parents play, as they do with everything, such a huge role, because if it stresses them out and they feel like they can't fix it, a highly sensitive child is going to pick that up even more than maybe the other kids in their family.
Wow. Well, I was going to ask you to define highly sensitive or stress sensitivity, but you just did a wonderful job. And I think any parent can go, oh, yep, kind of a litmus test there. And I know why parents are coming up to you, because the symptoms seem physiological. Stomach aches, headaches, fainting, right? Or even tantrums. People wonder if it's something you're eating or, as food sensitivity. And they're going to doctors when they need to be coming to, a stress mastery PhD like yourself. Just real quick for myself and our listeners, is stress sensitivity the same thing as a highly sensitive person? Or how do we define both of those?
Good question. So the highly sensitive person was first really explored, and the term was used by Dr. Elaine Aron. And I still always send people to her website, which is hsperson.com. I've also started my own, which is stresssensitivity.com. And I refer back to her all the time. So the highly sensitive person trait is essentially this hardwired trait. And what's really interesting in the field of neuroscience right now is that there's a lot of people talking about the same concepts, but using a different framework. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Elaine Aron came from clinical psychology, happens to be married to a researcher who has brain scanning devices in his research institute, and would put in the highly sensitive person assessment in a lot of the research they were doing, and found all these really fascinating things. Other people, like my research partner, Dr. Evian Gordon, looks at something called negativity bias. And this has to do with like how fast in the brain and the body we process negative cues, knowing that everyone is skewed towards negative, because we have 5 times more fear-based circuits in the brain and we react faster to negative than positive. And you can see all of that through imaging. So that's another kind of framework from a neuroscience physiology perspective, is this negativity bias, which I really like to call threat sensitivity, because I think negativity bias sounds too much like pessimism, which is more of a psychological framework. So I think as we're learning more, we're unpacking it and clarifying it for people. For me, this is the primary area of my research in my next PhD. So I'm actually in a second PhD program right now looking at human adaptability within organizational systems and companies. And Evian and I are collaborating on a brain-based stress model we're calling e-stress, which is essentially the emotion of stress experiences. And we're kind of looking at how do we integrate all of these. So to me, stress sensitivity is, yes, it's the sensitivity of the chemistry, structure, and function of the brain and the nervous system. So it's a little bit more holistic, even including things like mindset with regards to a growth versus fixed mindset. So there's a lot of these different capacities. And the reason, just so everyone understands, the reason I'm doing this is because as we learn more, the tendency in the past has been to isolate on all these factors. And it's kind of like, well, this is mine, and this is mine, and this is mine. And we get these silos of research and application. And my focus, and Evian's as well, is integration. So what I'm trying to do is integrate the concepts and how they react together so that we can actually explore what's changeable and what's not. So I will always be a highly sensitive person, but I know for a fact through my own testing on myself as a guinea pig that my negativity bias is highly flexible and adaptable if I nudge it with the right cues towards either positivity, gratitude, or humor. So hopefully that explained it. And I realize I'm talking really, really fast, but trying to get a lot of information in for everybody.
It is. It's a lot to digest. So the highly sensitive person is a trait, and it's partly mindset and the way your brain is wired. That'd be fair to say. And then sometimes we maybe have a higher threat sensitivity, higher maybe reactionary thing going on that we can train.
Yeah, I would probably put it this way. I think that Dr. Aaron's work was so pioneering that she understood what was happening before she knew the why. Mm. And you can see that even on her website, you'll see her research. I mean, no one was talking about this, and we didn't have scanning technology back then. And so the idea that 15 to 20% of the population is more reactive to stress and stimulation than others.
Okay.
They also call it a sensory processing. It's not a disorder. It's a little different. It's just that sensitivity. And then what's happening now is we're learning more and being able to see actually what's the neurochemistry doing in those circumstances and what's the heart rate and brainwave patterns that go along with that. And that's why I think it's getting more expanded.
Got it. It's so fascinating. Now, for those of us listening, we've probably already identified, and we've had a few highly sensitive person topics in the last few weeks. So we probably have already identified that, you know, I as an adult might be, or my child or some of my children might be. How does this trait impact the way people need to figure out how to master their stress? And Heidi, especially in these times when everything is uncertain, I think it's exceptionally difficult to be a highly sensitive person. Do you have any strategies for parents to help their children?
One of the many habits we have here in the Kimball family to keep ourselves healthy is to take probiotics every single day. We like to rotate them, but Just Thrive Probiotics, today's podcast sponsor, is definitely one of our favorites. It is shelf stable at room temperature and has a wide variety of probiotic strains that are proven to be incredibly helpful for gut health and your immune system. Just Thrive comes in capsule form, and you can check out their products and get 15% off at kidscookrealfood.com/justthrive. Be sure to use the coupon code Katie15. That's kidscookrealfood.com/JUSTTHRIVE. And the coupon code is my name, KATIE15, for 15% off those probiotics.
People need to figure out how to master their stress. And Heidi, especially in these times when everything is uncertain, I think it's exceptionally difficult to be a highly sensitive person. Do you have any strategies for parents to help their children?
Yeah, I can vouch for the fact that it's very difficult in these times. And one of the reasons is because we also tend to be very passionate about what we do. We're very loving. We want to help everybody. And in fact, it's one of the reasons why I'm getting ready to move from living downtown San Diego to out by the beach. It's not just because the beach sounds better and everyone would want to do that, but it's because sensory-wise, it's too stimulating down here. We're up high in a building and I feel every movement. We've had a couple of earthquakes recently, so it's like all that stuff, it's just too much. Now, what we're also seeing is with the circumstances today, when we see people suffering, highly sensitive people will absorb that more as well. And even children who don't know how to put that into words. So I always like people to just imagine, if you could, a highly sensitive or stress sensitive person on one side and someone who's maybe more resilient on the other side, is that when all of this chaos and uncertainty and suffering is going on, whether it's us or it's around us, we absorb it more. So where someone else may stay a little bit more logically in the top part of their brain, ours goes straight down to our heart, to our body. That's why we're impacted in digestive capacities as well, primarily. And I can get all nerdy about why that happens, but I won't. So that the key is to just know that we need even more to set healthy boundaries. And so obviously as an adult, I'm looking at what I'm dealing with right now and so desperately wanting to help everyone. I have more business now than I've ever had, especially virtually, because I've been teaching virtually for so long. And so it's learning how to pace myself and prioritize and make sure I'm eating and sleeping and moving and getting time in nature and finding things funny. I mean, it's the core self-care strategies with kids. They are not as in control of their circumstances, their time, and all that kind of stuff. So they really need parents to help guide them, protect them, role model for them. And I would say within that, that idea of role modeling, and for two reasons. Number one is that kids need to see that you are taking care of yourself. So when you say, and this was a big issue in my household, even to this day, my dad will say, I'm so worried about you, you're working too hard and all that. And it's like, well, hello, I watched you and you're still doing it. And you're still like fainting in the middle of board meetings. Like, that's not okay. So yes, you're telling me this, but you're showing me something else. And that lands more, especially for sensitive people. We essentially kind of imprint that into our perspective and even into our bodies, but also because stress is so contagious. So this is the case with any child, no matter how sensitive they are, because kids in general are going to be more sensitive than adults because they don't have the logic and judgment and those types of capacities quite yet. Is we have to role model it because we have to take care of ourselves. We have to make sure the energy we bring to them is as positive as it possibly can be, not to put too much pressure on us or feel like we have to be perfect. In fact, it's even better if you're able to sit down and discuss with your children as appropriate based on their age when you make mistakes and, you know, when you're scared too, and that's okay because you're teaching them these healthier coping strategies. So I think that means you got to take time out for yourself. You have to find a space in your home or in your backyard or some way to get your own recharge time. And when your mind starts to say to you, there's all these other things that have to be done first and I have to take care of this person, it's really like rewrite your story that taking care of yourself is the most fundamental way to take care of the other people in your home. Mm-hmm. Easier than that. Realize, but really important.
Yeah, I think it's important for all of us adults to remember what you said. You said stress is contagious. And I thought, I mean, I have the perfect example just from this weekend. I woke up cranky. I came downstairs. I was handing out chores and not happy with the way anything was done. And I ended up with one of my highly sensitive children in a heap crying within 2 hours. That's my fault. You know, that was absolutely stress was contagious, and I had to really reset and apologize and do better the next day, you know, which is always, that's always the goal as parents.
And with that, I would say self-compassion, right? It's like doing your own training on self-compassion for yourself to know we are all human, become more mindful of your experiences. And then, as you know, and teach all the time, the stress mastery formula we use is to assess, appreciate, and adjust. So assess what's really going on. Why did I react the way I did? But also appreciate yourself, that those reactions are part of your survival-based instincts. Your capacity is lower than ideally it would be. And just appreciate that your brain and your body are trying to help you. And they hurt you sometimes when they get out of control. And then you adjust, right? You come up with what's one thing that maybe I could put in the moment before I come in the house, something simple. A joke, a funny video, smelling essential oils, whatever it might be, but a little pause that allows me to go in kind of more intentionally with the energy I want to bring to our shared time together.
Mm-hmm. So we talked here on the Healthy Parenting Connector with Dr. Pej Munkhatirai a few weeks ago about highly sensitive children. And he talked about how he works with some of the most difficult cases. And I think it's important for parents to understand, like, are stress-sensitive people, adults or kids, more likely to have physical diseases brought on by that relationship to stress?
Yeah. So the research has shown, and Elaine Aaron's done a lot of this work, that highly sensitive children who are growing up in a space that's nurturing and supportive actually thrive. So they do better than your average child out in the real world, emotional intelligence, intellectual intelligence. The challenge is when they grow up in chaotic or stressful environments. And I was just doing an interview for a summit on trauma and trying to make sure that people understood that trauma is not just your capital T trauma that happens one time. It's also things like developmental trauma, which is essentially like chronic stress. The difference is when you have a highly sensitive child, and again, I can attest to this because I even remember it at such an early age, everything feels traumatic. So parents in an argument feels traumatic. It's like any little thing, if they're not getting along, it's my fault. And we know kids tend to do that anyway. But the different thing, my brother may have gone, it's my fault. It's not my fault. There's a bouncing basketball. I'm going to go shoot hoops. And I would have been like, it's my fault. I shouldn't have done that. I'm such a horrible person. That's why my friends don't like me. I mean, I can go down that rabbit hole so fast because that's the way my brain used to react. And then, you know what? As adults, those cycles continue and we have to break those cycles. So it's so much easier to build that in early on. So yeah, the symptoms, the negative types of things, definitely anxiety and depression. I would say even as much as I hate talking about it, suicidal ideation, which is the thing I struggled with my whole life. And substance abuse, trying to quiet down that hyperactive monkey mind in our brain. Sometimes it feels like that's the only way to get our nervous system to calm down, which is why we need physical movement, creativity, play, nutrition that's not overstimulating is such an important part. Keeping an eye on caffeine and sugar, which can really overwhelm the highly sensitive nervous system. Those are all important.
Wow. So very practically, what you just said that you used to think as a child, that and everybody hates me. I'm horrible. Yeah. Everybody hates me. I guarantee a lot of women, especially, I think, can remember themselves doing that as a, you know, pubescent teenager. And a lot of us have heard that kind of, I call it spiraling from our kids. What are some practical strategies parents can use to cut off and redirect that spiraling all the way down to I'm a horrible person, everybody hates me?
Yeah. You know, I think that's why I came up with the stress mastery formula, just to go back to that again, because it's like I can use that in every situation, is with yourself or with your children to actually assess what's going on, what's triggering this, what's at the root of this, and to be able to say, okay, this isn't bad. This is why we're reacting, because we're trying to help us. That high energy, intense kind of stress reactions like fear, anxiety, aggression, irritability. Usually that's adrenaline stimulated, and we need to move, play, create, be productive, or, you know, sometimes kind of take our mind off of things for a little while. Distraction could be good for that. But it's almost like we got to fuel positive adaptation. We have to fuel something a little bit better, do something nice for someone else, write a handwritten thank you card. I just see, especially with kids, like getting their hands on something, being in nature, those types of things. And then on the opposite side is, you know, when we're getting that more freeze or faint reaction, we tend to be more fatigued, kind of checked out. I was FaceTiming with my sister-in-law and my niece, and they're all just like so lethargic. They're up in Idaho. They're just like, you know, don't know how to deal with all this stuff. And my niece just looked like she had been sleeping for days on the couch, and they're usually really active. So it's like figuring out that fine line between when do we need to do and be productive with the energy, and when do we actually need to take a warm bath, or, you know, for adults, I always tend to say like get a massage, but maybe it's some sort of movement or essential oils. And even as you know, with the foods that you're eating, you know, what is going to be either most calming to a nervous system that's overactive, or what's going to be maybe a little bit more energizing to a nervous system that's feeling more lethargic. And so it's always just those little adjustments, or what I call nudges to your nervous system, that I think add up over time. And we tend to think that, oh, that's not really going to help that much, but it does. Those sensory cues and those shifts really do start to rewire our nervous system. And again, I can say I'm not highly sensitive, but I'm now much more aware of setting healthy boundaries and oscillating. And I can start to identify even the reactive patterns as excitement. You know, in these current circumstances, I'm like really excited. I haven't been anxious at all. I just feel like I have an outlet to put it into. So it's not that overwhelming sense. But, you know, a few years ago, I certainly wouldn't have reacted or responded that way. It's been through these gradual proactive trainings that then allow me to react differently.
Okay. So if a child seems all worked up and you can kind of feel that adrenaline, that energy, maybe we say, hey, let's go jump on the trampoline, or, you know, let's go for a run or something, maybe something physical. You can get them going. Hey, let's listen to some music.
Go noodle. I didn't have to say that because it just popped into my mind. Go noodle. I mean, I'm sure there's tons of these out there, but I just found, I don't know if you're familiar with John Rady, is one of my favorite researchers and collaborators. He does exercise in the brain. So he does a lot of the stuff getting kids moving. There is, and I've signed up for this personally, there's a website called Go Noodle, and it's really for teachers to get kids moving and playing. Oh my gosh. In my PhD classes last week, we were stuck I was in a hotel room because we had just gone virtual, and I played this, and we had our law class professor doing the pop the bubble dance. It is adorable. So they have gratitude things, movement things, and even for myself, like I'll put that on and just, while no one's looking, like dance and pop the puzzle bubbles, and the bubbles let the fish come out. So anyway, not to go off on a tangent, but I think there's a lot of those types of things out there, and especially for parents who are going to be home for a while with their kids, maybe running out of creative ideas. There's a lot of good stuff that people can lean into.
Yeah, but that's a way to sort of co-opt that adrenaline that's going haywire and pull it back down so that maybe you can have a conversation about sort of the spiraling thoughts. Whereas on the other hand, if the child's kind of laying on the bed, woe is me, then they would need more of the take a bath, aromatherapy. So it's a responding to what they're doing.
Yeah. It could be gratitude, breathing. Go Noodle has some of those too, thinking about what you're grateful for, like visualizing your favorite friend. Yeah. So just kind of looking at that and then adjusting kind of accordingly to how you see those, what I call stress signature patterns starting to show up.
Okay. I think this has been really helpful. I know that it is sort of a tenuous time for people to be highly sensitive or have a high threat sensitivity, because there seems to be more threats than ever every time we turn around. And I just always want to leave parents with a message of hope. So if you could encourage parents who maybe are highly sensitive themselves or have one or more sensitive children, what do you want them to kind of walk away from listening to this to remember?
Yeah. I think one of the most important things about us as highly sensitive people is we have to know that this really is a blessing if we understand how to navigate it. I think the biggest challenge is when we feel like there's something wrong with us. I grew up thinking my brain was broken. I had all the information of what I should be doing, and I was acting totally different. So I felt like an imposter, felt like a fraud. And the reality is that I am highly sensitive, and I do absorb everyone else's energy, and I have to really maintain healthy boundaries around that. And that is stronger with those we love. So I think highly sensitive people, stress sensitive people also need some downtime, some quiet time. Why go back to like things like time in nature, hot baths or jacuzzis, or getting a massage, and to remind ourselves that the better we can recharge our own battery, the better we can serve others. We really have to like write the story that's going to make that work. In fact, as I'm saying that, I just felt this on my skin. I have a wristband that says I'd rather be extraordinary at less than ordinary at more. Mm. I think that as sensitive people, we want to be everything to everybody. And when we do that, we've got to loot our ability to do that. And usually it's our family that pays the cost.
Yeah.
Closest. And although I don't have children, I have a husband who acts like a child, even though he's significantly older than me. And I appreciate that. And I love that about him. But I do notice that, especially during these times when we're, you know, needing to be together all the time, it can be really hard. So that kind of self-compassion of, yes, I'm sensitive. With the challenges of that, I'm also passionate, loving, dedicated, loyal, service-oriented, and whoever I'm with, and my husband definitely has figured this one out, has to understand that with the benefits come some challenges, and that we can learn to kind of work together better with that. So if you have a partner or a spouse at home to help, I would really lean into that. If you don't, just know that kids really need adults who are champions for them, and they don't have to be related. So that could be a friend of yours or an extended family member who can come in and fill in the gaps when you do need that downtime. I think that's really important.
I love that. Kids need adults who are champions for them. They need someone to, understand where they're coming from. That's beautiful. Well, Dr. Heidi Hanna, thank you so much for taking this time today. I know you and I are both highly sensitive people. So our brains are just going and our hearts are just kind of exploding and melting all at the same time with all of this going on in the world and making people feel uncertain. But that's our job as stress mastery professionals, right? Is to help people feel a little more certain at the moments that they choose and be more in control of the way they're processing the threats coming at them. So thank you so very much for talking about stress sensitivity and children with us today. I know parents have learned a lot.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Healthy Parenting Handbook podcast. I hope your brain feels fed and your heart feels full and that you feel connected, knowing that there are other parents on this journey with you. We're just trying to raise healthy, independent adults. And you know, the next time you think, man, there is no handbook for this job, now there is the Healthy Parenting Handbook. Look up the podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please leave a review, my friends, as that helps other parents who need this information to find us. And of course, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. That's a huge help. You can also look for our shorts as a reel on Instagram at Katie Kimball Kids Cook, or subscribe to the Healthy Parenting Handbook Shorts channel on YouTube. You'll get those bite-sized portions of healthy parenting advice.